It all, you know, laid out perfectly. And sometimes my life doesn't go that way. And we had some more problems with that thingamajigger, our new one. So we're sending it back, and they're sending us a new one. So let's give a hand to Adam, because he's our plan B. He does it without a ruffle. I love it. I'm like, okay. So they go, yeah, Pastor D, don't trip over any cords. Okay, I will work on that. Glory to me. Glory be. We also have some construction going on here. We had some issues with the retaining wall. We dug it out. We found out, oops, we have a little problem here. So things got backed up. If I were a kid, I'd love to jump off of that thing. But please, refrain. So we have it marked off. No kids, no adults, no skateboarding down there until we get that fixed. So praise the Lord. Let me think, what else are we fixing around here? Yeah, that's about it for today. Hallelujah. Okay, let me get some things set here. All right. Okie doke. This is our second lesson in our new series called How to Hear God's Voice. How to Hear God's Voice. Last week, we talked about strange voices. You don't want to listen to those voices, but you should be aware of those voices. So if you were not here last week, go online. You can listen to the message so you're not listening to strange voices. Or you can get right in front of you are envelopes on the bottom half on the right-hand side. Just fill out the date, and you get a free CD. We just do it free. So, but it's a real good message, besides I preach, but, you know, it's a good message. So today we're part two, talking about how to hear God's voice. And I want to start with a story, just kind of lead you in here. Many moons ago, when I was a young believer, just 1, 2, 3 years old in the Lord, I had been to a church service, and I was enamored by the speaker. The speaker walked in the gift of a prophet. You know, in the fivefold ministries, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So I had been, whoa, just in awe about the prophet ministry. So Jack and I would go, whenever we heard there was somebody that walked in that gift, you don't sign up for the gift, God gives you that gift. All right. So whenever I heard that there was somebody that was walking in that gift, we'd hop in the car, we'd drive an hour and a half to go hear a speaker. And as many of you may know, I come early. Come to my house early. Don't be late. So I come to early, and I always, how many of you know, where does Pastor D always sit? I sit on the front row. So we would go to hear these speakers, and I'd be, come on, Jack, we got to leave. I got to sit on the front row. Then I realized that, you know, you might not be that important, Pastor D. I wasn't pastor then. Go sit on the second row. So we'd get there early, and as the guest speaker or the speaker that was there was talking, I would be like looking them in the eyeball. Now, most people, they don't want to look at you in the eyeball, especially if you have the gift of the prophet's gift. But I'm looking you in the eyeball, and I want something to happen. I want that man or that woman, I want them to give me a word from God. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, you know, you're just looking. And I want them to say, hey, lady in the fuchsia shirt, stand up. And I want them to say, woman of God, I have seen you, blah, 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 la, la, la. You know, and I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. This is kind of the way I was. Now, I don't do that anymore, all righty? And what I found out over time is God does not, write that down, God does not lead us by the prophet. But sometimes they will confirm what God's already spoken to you. All right. I'm telling you what, if a prophet calls you out and you have never had this thought, you're supposed to marry Joe Schmo. Don't go looking for Joe Schmo, because it will confirm, the prophet's ministry confirms what God's been showing you. Okay. So I'm leading into what we're going to talk about now is that, so we have the prophet's ministry, and we're not to go to them and have them lead us, but we're to go to God to have him lead us. How many of you want to go and have God lead you? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, you need God to lead you. Yeah. But or really, I say, God, I want you to lead me. I mean, I want God to lead me. I want God to lead me. And today we're going to talk about four ways that God likes to speak and lead us. And I'm going to call it the four voices. And really, I could add a couple more, and you've probably heard some of this, but I'm just going to give them some new names. But we're going to talk about four voices that God speaks to lead you. Four different ways, all right? So here's the big idea. Here's the one thing I want you to walk out and remember by the time you get to that mailbox, instead of saying, I don't know what you talk about, but write this down. It'll help you. Ready? If you follow what God said, if you follow what God has said, you'll hear what he's saying. And I'll explain that in a minute. But if you follow what God has said, you will hear what he's saying. Alrighty, now, how many of you like to hear God's voice? How many of you want him to tell you specific things? Like, how would you like to say, I want you to go to this college, and I don't want you to go to that one. I want you to take this job, and no, don't take that job. There are a bunch of dirty crooks over there, all right? Or how about the Lord saying to you, I want you to buy this house, or not buy this house and keep renting. God wants you to marry this person. Now, those are all specifics, all right? Those are specifics that we want many times God to tell us. Anybody ever have a hit list? God, will you just tell me? I've had a few hit lists, all right? But we all want God to speak to us. And when it says, when I said, if you will follow what God has said, and that's the Bible. That's the number one way, the voice that God speaks to us. So I was thinking about this. I was preparing. You can go into my bathroom and I have Bibles. You can go into my car and the side slots, I've got Bibles. You can go on my nightstand, I have Bibles. You can go in my living room, I have Bibles. Okay, you go in my office, I have Bibles. You know why? Because that is the voice of the Lord. God speaks through his word, the Bible, the scriptures. Everybody should be smiling, going, yay, I'm going to get some more Bibles going. All right? And then I started doing this, and then I was having problems doing this, but I have the Bible on app. So when I got to a red light, I would press the Bible on app, the Bible. And then I had people honking at me because I wasn't paying attention. So I just quit that, and, you know, but, you know. So anyway, the Bible. So the number one way that God speaks to us and leads us is through his word. All right? Through his scriptures. So if you follow what God has said, okay, if you follow that, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to start hearing what he's saying in specific areas in your life. And I'm going to talk more about that. So are anybody hungry to hear what God says for your life? You, I do. And then I want to know about you guys. I'm praying all the time. God, tell me about this bunch here. Okay? Alrighty. So, here's a scripture. Most of you already know. You can write this down. They'll pop it up. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, that's the B-I-B-L-E, the scriptures, right? For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. But I like the first part. For the Bible is alive. Now, some of you are looking at it like, what are you talking about, Pastor D? No. The Bible's alive. Did you see that? The Word of God is alive. The Bible's alive. The Bible's alive. It's powerful and it's living. All right? Now, listen, there's tons of great books. Does anybody have a book that you just love reading? Matter of fact, I was cleaning out my attic. Cassie was here, and I was passing books on, and we had the series on Little House in the Prairie. And my kids were having a fight on whose book series was going to, who they were going to get that. All right. So actually, I didn't tell Sherry. I just gave it to Cassie. All right. Don't tell her. All right. Because, you're here. Darn. Shoo. I'm in trouble. All right. But those are favorite books. Everybody have favorite books. All right. Okay. Now, okay. Move along, Pastor D. But really, the Bible literally is infused with life, life and power. And if you will start looking at that book, not just as a book, but a book that's got life. And if you get that book, the word, the scripture inside of you, it'll start changing you from the inside out. from the inside out. So it's an amazing book. Now, how many of you know that God actually wrote the book, but he inspired men. He inspired men to write the book. And there's a bunch of authors that he spoke to, but they wrote it out. But it's still, God wrote this book, and it's for us. And it will, if you got, anybody got a messed up life? I got areas that are still messed up. All right. But if you get this life, this word inside of you, I guarantee it'll take the mess ups and start changing you. It's an incredible book. All right. So if you get the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures into you, it will change you. Now, here's what I noticed when I start reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible. For 40 years, I've been reading the Bible. All right. This is what I noticed. When I read it, it's going to tell me some things that I need to stop doing. Anybody ever read some of those scriptures? And it's also going to tell me some things that I need to begin to do. Now, if I stop doing some things or I begin to do some things because the word of God says that, is it because I'm going to get God to love me more? No. If you're a believer, you are accepted, baby, just hands down, all right? God loves you. He loves you. You can't make him love you more. You can't make him love you less. Hands down, he loves you. So that's not my reason why I need to be reading the word, okay? And some people think, well, if I stop doing this and I start doing this and I get up and I do that, then I'll get to heaven. Wrong answer. The only way you get to heaven is putting your trust in who? Jesus Christ as Savior. You put your trust in him as Savior. That's how you get to heaven. So when God starts asking you, because you're reading the word and you see some things, and God asks you to stop doing some things, or you better start doing some things, all right? The reason why he does that is he wants to get you on a path. Whoops, there's that light thing. He wants to get you on a path where he can begin to have access to the blessings, all right? He wants to get you on a path where he can get you in a position where you can receive all the great things God has for you. So that's why he has the word of God. That's why you've got the scriptures that say, hey, you need to knock that off, or hey, this is something good for you to do. All righty. So it's absolutely amazing. It is an amazing book, the Bible. Listen to this scripture. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. Praise God. Just think, as I read this word and God starts showing me things in my life, and it puts me in a position. It puts me in a position where I'm going to start hearing, so God will tell me some specific things for my life. And I always have a list. Come to my house. I call it the honey-do list. I got the natural things, my list on here, and I've got things with the Lord. So this is an amazing book. Are you all over 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is inspired by who? Not your mother. How about that? All scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Okay, this is an incredible book. It gives life. It's alive. It gives life. And if you get it inside of you, it'll get you going down the right path. Amen. Do you see that? And it's really amazing that it actually starts talking to you. The word of God will start talking. You'll read it and it just goes, whoa, that's just incredible. I want to give you a couple of examples about the word of God in my life. Anybody grow up in the 70s? Crazy times, I'm going to tell you. All right. I grew up in the 70s. Peace, free love, pot, just crazy stuff going on there. Okay. And I didn't know Jesus. But then in about 1975, I met the Lord and I got a Bible. I asked my mom for a Bible for Christmas, and she thought I was off the deep end. Because I'm a child of the 70s. She's going, oh, God, what is she into? So anyway, I got a Bible. So I got into the Bible. I actually got into church. I started going to church, and I started going to a small group. all of that within a year's time. And it was just phenomenal. And as I'm reading my Bible, I kept hearing. Now listen, but I kept hearing from my pastor. I kept hearing in grow groups, and I kept hearing and reading in the Word of God that what everybody was doing in the 70s was not the path that God wanted people to be on. It was actually, they were actually doing things that God was like, I'm not okay with that. And you know, most of the things I had to have a debate with God. Yep. The friends I was hanging around, the things I was smoking, just some more things. I would have a debate with God going, are you kidding me? What? Give up those friends? Lord. And, you know, but then I just kept reading my Bible, and then I was going to this small group and they were saying the same thing. And my pastor would just randomly say things from the pulpit. And I finally had a aha moment. Anybody ever have like the aha moment? You're reading your Bible and you're like, ah. And I realized, God, you're right. Anybody ever go, oh my gosh, God, you're right. I'm usually a day late in figuring that out, but I'm getting better. So I had this aha moment like, God, you're right. And at that moment, I made a decision. Lord God, whatever you say, I am going to walk that way. Whatever you say, I'm going to walk that way. Now, crazy thing about that is sometimes, and this is me and my growth in knowing who the Lord is. I was doing it because I thought, well, God, listen, I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to do you a favor, and I'm going to stop doing this stuff, and I'm going to start doing this stuff. And you know what I found out? God was actually doing me a favor. Anybody ever found out God was really doing you a favor? Okay, because as I got into the Word of God, and I'd read scriptures, and you talk about clean out your brain, and I got in there, it changed me. Now, I would love to say it changed me like that. And some of you are probably still thinking, come on, girl, keep at it. Because I still have areas in my life. But the more that I've been reading this Word of God that's alive, that's inspired, it started changing me. Anybody have the Word of God change you? Has anybody ever seen somebody like at a high school reunion and they'll hang out with you a little bit and go, man, you have changed. Anybody ever has that? That's good. That's really good. Okay. All right. And what happens is the more that I was in this Word routinely, because not because I was going to do God a favor, the more I was in that, do you know what happened? It started changing me. It opened up my ears to hear better. It put me in a better path to hear better and to have the things God walk me through specific paths. It's amazing. It's incredible. All righty. Now, while reading my Bible, has this ever happened to you? This happens to me a lot. God will ask me to do something I've never done before. Like it's brand new. It was like, huh? That's in the Bible? Anybody ever have God ask you to do something you never have done before? And it's sort of a struggle. Anybody have sort of struggle with some of the things? Well, maybe it's just me, just always kicking and screaming here. But let me tell you a story. I got married in 77. And we had gone to this church, then we went up to Penn State, then we went out to Tulsa. So like in the first 2.5 years, I basically figured out there was this guy called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was it. I was just new to the Word of God. I was raised in a denomination that didn't put Bibles in your hand. So this was all new to me. So I'm reading this here, and we go out to Tulsa to go to Bible school. And I will say we just struggled a wee bit. Yeah, right. We didn't know what a savings account was. So we were kind of struggling in our pocket. We would just go, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And, we were going to this great church. I just loved my pastor, got involved in there. So we're going there and my pastor says the T word. He starts talking about the T word, tithes. And in the denomination that I grew up, really, I was totally asleep, but I never heard that. I never heard about tithes. So I nudged my friend. Hey, what's tithes? She goes, you mean tithes and offerings? She's going to give me something else. Okay, so tithes and offerings, all right. And I really had no clue what it was. And what they told me, they explained to my pastor, the speakers and stuff would always talk about a tithe means giving 10% of your income unto the Lord. I was like, are you kidding me? I just had started giving $10. I thought that was like $1 million to stick in the bucket. All right. And I'm reading this 10% of your income to the Lord. I was struggling. And did anybody struggle with that? Oh, you guys are such good Christians. I'm telling you what. Woo! Alrighty. So that it really bugged me. And so we started buying all the mini books. And Jack and I would start looking up all these scriptures. Because I didn't know enough of the Bible even to how to find it. So we're looking at books. And then we're digging in the Word and stuff like that. And the reason why we started digging into the Bible is because some people said, oh, D, you don't have to do tithes and offerings. That's the Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. And I thought, oh, I like that one. Because I didn't know what side of the Bible I was living on. I was living under the New Covenant. So I was like, okay. And then I had some people say, D, that's in the New Testament. Really? Are you kidding me? Okay. So, but it sent us on a journey of digging in the Word, digging in the Word. And not so much listening to what people said. Dig into the Bible, guys, because it's a voice of God. So we did in there, and you know what I found out? They tithed before the law, and then God said, I want you to tithe in the law. And then we got this Apostle Paul who comes along and says, you tithe also still today. So if you're a believer, but hey, don't listen to me. Start digging in the scriptures. But believers today tithe and give offerings today. So I told you that whole story because I was struggling with it. But once I saw and I saw and I saw and I saw in the Word of God, I said, okay, God, I'm going to start putting this in action. I started putting this in action. Now, I kind of cried and had a temper tantrum on the floor. And I said, hey, God, look at my checkbook. All right. Did you see what's in there? He must think, we're going to have a great ho-ho time when I get to heaven someday. But so I'm telling him, hey, listen to this. And I started doing that. Jack and I started doing that. And amazing things happened in our finances. Not like I'm still waiting for a millionaire to dump $1 million into my account. I didn't have that happen. Okay. All right. But you know what happened? And I've told you this story. I had someone pay off a loan. Random. Just actually a company dissolve a loan that we had. I've had three cars given to us. Now, they were secondhand, some of them third hand. Thank you, Mom and Dad Cashman, because some of those came from them. But I had other people give us cars for my kids when they were in high school. And, you know, I liked those beat-up cars because I would tell my kids, these are York County cars only because they won't make it out of the county. It's a great way to keep tabs on your kids, not like Cassie going to where she took that car of Joy's and split. Yeah. So that's a good story. You should find that one. Okay. So, but I was very grateful. These cars that God started blessing us, God's given me furniture. All right. And I know according to the scriptures, and you need to dig it out yourself. And you can go to our bookstore. We've got tons, mini books, big books, large books, skinny books, whatever books. Okay. You can start getting a head start on these scriptures. But I'm telling you what, as I saw the Word of God, it positioned me where God started blessing my life, and He's still doing it. Anybody ever have that happen to you? You're a tithing and you give offerings and God just blesses you. We could probably pass the microphone around for a whole hour. And I know you have stories too. All right. But I will tell you, I struggled. I really struggled for this in the beginning. All righty. So, you know, tithing, just wonderful, 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 wonderful. Okay. I lost my place. We're going to do this. Oh, let me tell you another story. I have a really good friend. He's a numbers guy. Anybody the numbers guy? So I was a new believer. We're living out in Tulsa. It's actually a good friend of Jackson, mine, and his wife and stuff. And we were so excited. We learned about tithing and offerings. This is so wonderful. And we were just doing this. And he's like, it can't work. It just can't work. You do the numbers, D, it doesn't work. And then what he's saying, I can't do it. So me and my big mouth. And so I said, well, just pick a percentage that you can. I don't know why I said that. I have to believe it was God. So I looked at him. I said, just pick a percentage that you can start. All right. And he picked 3. Hey, this is, if you're a numbers person and you're doing the numbers, it's not looking like it. So he did. And I said, fine. I did one of those. Fine. So just start and being faithful, giving 3% unto who? To the Lord. All right. Unto the Lord and to your local church and all that good stuff. So he did. And then, I said, but listen, you prove God, and if it works, start upping it. And he did. He started faithfully tithing 3%. And he did it for like 6 months. And for some reason, his account didn't end up in the negatives. And it started having some pluses in there. And I kind of forgot about this. And later on, he came to me. He says, I'm up to 10. $10? No, 10%. And he says, and he started telling me all these great things that were happening in his life, okay? But listen, I am only going to tell you what the Word of God has done in my life to change my life. And I challenge you, get into it. Dig it out and said, God, you said, and go run with it, all righty? Now, another thing I read in the Bible that I had a debate with God, you'll kind of laugh, is becoming a worshiper. Becoming a worshiper. Because I just thought it was for y'all and you all right? All you singers that sound good. Now, I think I sound great in the shower. And Sherry says she's got 3 good notes. I probably have 1 good note. So my excuse was, I'm not gifted in singing. But I read all through the Bible. You guys go through the Bible and talk about giving praise unto the Lord, worshiping the Lord, lifting up holy hands. It's all over the place. And as I was reading the Bible, I was like, oh my gosh. And the Lord said, I want you to worship me like you're in the throne room of God. I said, oh, God, I feel weird. I feel like a fake. And I would read all these scriptures, you know, let everything that have breath praise the Lord, come into his presence. And I just would find this and find this. So finally, I just said, that's it. And I made this confession. I am a worshiper of my Father God and my Savior, and I worship him. And I close my eyes. It's really funny. I don't know why I close my eyes even when I worship with God, because I don't want to see your faces, all right? But I have become a worshiper. And it changed my life. It will change your life, because as you get in the presence of God, it'll change you. It'll strengthen you. It'll set you free. It'll pump you up. So if you're dragging your sorry rear ends around someday, I'm going to tell you, go into the presence of God and be a worshiper. One time, every once in a while, not too often, God tells me to get off a coffee. And I just finished one. When did we do that? Your mom and I was at, like, oh yeah. Stinking headache. Bad. Okay? Because it is an addiction, coffee. But there's worse things I can do in life, so I'm back on it again. But anyway, in moderation, yeah. Okay, but anyway, the Lord, I'm in the middle of this, and I'm having that headache. Anybody ever go off a coffee and have a headache? Oh, it's just hard to smile at people when you do that. And the Lord says, start worshiping me. Start worshiping me. So I just lift my hands and, God, I love you. I love that you have loved me. I love that you've set me free. You've taken all pain off of my head. And, you know, and I love you. I love you. You know, I was just doing my worship thing. And it would go on day one. Day 1, 2, and 3 are the toughies. Okay? And I'd be a worshiper. But listen, I did worship. I became a worshiper because I read it. And then I just wanted to. And then I had the benefits. And then I just wanted to. And then there were benefits. And then I just wanted to. All right. So I challenge you. Get into the Word of God. Praise God. So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is a good one. I stole this quote. I forgot who. What book I read it. When you open your Bible, God opens his mouth to you. When you open your Bible, God will open his mouth to you and speak to you. And he'll change your life as he speaks to you, because this is alive. And it changes us from the inside out. Amen? Praise God. Some of you are sitting here and you used to have this routine going on reading your Bible, but then life got crazy, life got busy, and somehow you don't even know where your Bible is. Listen, I believe the Lord's speaking to you and say, hey, just say, God, God, I just got crazy busy and I'm going to get back into it, because I want your voice of this living word to speak to me and change me and help me and set me free. Amen. Some of you are new and you're like, read what? I love when people tell me I don't read. Read what? Read your Bible. Okay. So if God's, you know, if you're a new believer, get into the Word of God. Just try 10 minutes. 10 minutes every day. Just get into a pattern of it. And I promise you, based on the scripture, that this thing is alive and it'll start talking on the inside, working on the outside. Praise the Lord. I'm not singing anymore. Okay, why? Why do we read the scriptures? Why do we get in the Bible? Because it's alive and it's going to talk to you. And it's the sweetest voice. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. So let me give you the second one. Here's the second way that God talks to us. This is the second voice, all right? The second voice, if you're writing this down. I call it, and it's just me, I just give some goofy names to it, spiritual impression. Spiritual impression. Now, if you're a believer, you've already walked in this. You've already had this happen. You just may not have known this, okay? Spiritual impression. Okay, this is like when you're just minding your own business and this thought of this person comes to your mind. Like, I should call them. Or better yet, their face comes to you and you get this impression, I should pray for them. Has any of that ever happened? And you hadn't thought about them. And, you know, okay, so that's a spiritual impression. And you know how I know it's true? More times when I don't do that. Like, I was thinking about you, Jody, and I didn't call her. I didn't pray for her. And then I see her and she goes, oh, Pastor D, I had the week from hell. Everything was going wrong. And I was like, oh, when did that happen? That week? Oh, that's when God spoke to me. That inner spiritual impression here. Okay, but I did pray for you, Jody. All right. And you know how I also know it's true? It's when I do. Like, your faces, or I'll be thinking about you, and I'll just start praying for you or your kids, and then I'll see you, and you're like, oh, Pastor D, I was really having a struggle, and I said, hey, you know that, I was praying for you about that time, and they said, thanks. Things just seemed to go better later on in that week. I was like, hot dog, heard from God, that spiritual impression, and I did it. So listen, guys, it's a spiritual impression, it's nothing, you know, God will just kind of drop things in your heart. Praise the Lord. All right, here's a scripture. Let me give you a good scripture for this one. Acts 18:5. This is underneath spiritual impression. Acts 18:5. When Silas and Timothy had gone from Macedonia, Paul was pressed. Everybody say pressed. Pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Okay. The word pressed means to be compelled, to be urged, to be pushed, to be shoved. I added that one in there, not really. But to be urged, to be compelled, all right? So what was going on is Paul's born again spirit, his spirit is alive unto God, was pressing on him to go do something. Has anybody ever had that happen? Something's just really pressing on you? Now, what's fascinating about this is, and I kind of read through it, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. How many of you know who Paul was called by God, specifically spoken to go bring the gospel? I asked that question wrong. Let me just say, God specifically, talking about get ahead of yours, specifically spoke to Paul, called him, said, listen, you are to go to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. That was his call in life. Now, and that's what Paul did. But in this special time, God's urging him, impressing on him to go share Jesus with the Jews. Did you see that? All right. Now, I probably would have sat on it for a little bit. Okay. And then Paul jumped on it. I don't know, but he did. He jumped on it and he went to the Jews. He was impressed by his spirit. So God, a lot of times, will talk to you by just like this urging on the inside and go follow it. Go follow it. And we'll talk more about, that sort of thing. So that's our second way that voice will talk to you. He'll impress a spiritual impression on the inside. Now here's the third one that God leads us. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The inner voice. And I'm going to talk a little bit on the specifics in that and the main thing, but the inner voice. And that's when God's voice speaks to you. It's not something that you hear out of these physical ears. It just kind of rises up. It's called the inner voice. Now, some of you are looking at me like, huh? God actually speaks? This is the first time? Yeah. And it's the sweetest thing. How many of you have had God just speak to you? It's just so sweet. Especially like the first time you're like, my gosh, that was God. Okay, so he speaks to you. Turn over to Psalms. I'm going to give you a good scripture. Psalm 16:7. This is one of those ways God likes to speak. Here we go. Psalm 16:7. I will bless the Lord who counsels me. He gives me wisdom in the night, and he tells me what to do. All righty. Now, God talks to me all the time. And I remember having a discussion with him. I really don't like you waking me up at night. I like to sleep through the night. But many times he'll wake me up at the night. All right. So here he is. This is this thing. Now, how many of you, when you go to sleep at night, you finally, you know, clean up, do whatever. Your head hits the pillow. You finally get still, right? You get still. And what I've noticed is I kind of get more sensitive because I've just God, if it didn't get done, it's okay. And I just kind of rest when I get into my bed. And I find that I become more sensitive to the things of God. So that's why this psalmist wrote, he'll talk to you at night. All righty. Now, did you hear what God says? He says, God will tell you what to do. Everybody say, God, tell me what to do. God, tell me what to do. All right. I like that. God tells you what to do. It's in your inside, your inner voice. He'll tell you what to do. All righty. Now, if you are listening to that voice, he'll get you in a place and then he'll start telling you specifics. All right. So that's why I want to hear that inside voice. I want to hear God talk to me. And a lot of times have to do with scriptures. But turn over to John 14. I'm going to give you another scripture and we'll talk about this one. John 14, 26. The person talking is Jesus. How many of you would say, well, if Jesus said, I'll do it. If Jesus said it, I'll do it, right? So this is Jesus and we're going to do it. We're going to say, oh yeah, okay, Jesus, I'll do this. All right, John 14, 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you're a Christian, you have your life of God, you've given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and it talks to you, you got it, okay? So this is what happens. When God sends the Holy Spirit and to replace Jesus, he will do what? He will teach you everything, and he will what? Remind you of everything I told you. All righty, now. For all you people that give me this, don't ever say it again. I never understand anything I read in the Bible. Now, I know you don't say that, but maybe you know. Anybody know somebody that said that? Don't look at your spouse. Okay? Actually, I used to say that. I was like, I don't understand what I just read. Okay, but according to this, you are speaking contrary to the Word of God. Because it says here, he will teach you everything. He will teach you everything. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you everything. So what you should say, I grab my Bible and I'll do this, especially mornings, believe it or not, when I am just kind of fuzzy in the brain and the coffee didn't kick in, I grab my Bible and I go, Father God, this is your word. Holy Spirit, you open up my eyes. You speak to me. You give me understanding. And you are going to talk to me this morning as I read my Bible instead of, oh, I never understand anything I read. Okay, so we're not going to say that anymore. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's better to agree with the word of God, right? So you grab your Bible and you go, this is the word of God. It's alive. It's talking to me and it's going to teach me and give me understanding. And I have ears to hear from my Father. Amen. Now, did you notice the last part? First part, it's going to teach you everything. The last part says it's going to put everything to remembrance. Now, do you ever go, oh, I wonder where I left my keys. Oh, I wonder where I'm great for filing piles. And then I go, oh, I wonder where I piled it. Okay. So, but this thing, this scripture says, praise the Lord. He will remind you of everything I've told you. Jesus will remind you of the word. So that means after we're done here, or maybe it's something you heard a couple of weeks ago or a couple months ago from your favorite TV guy that's preaching the word, it says he will remind you of what you've heard. Has anybody ever had that happen? I mean, it was something you heard like a year ago, this scripture, and it's coming in here, it's in here, and it comes out, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. All righty, so it'll teach you, it'll speak to you. So the number one way that God really speaks to me is the word that I've read comes up out of here, and I'll hear it. And I'll hear it in counseling sessions. I do not have a master's or a PhD in nothing. Okay. And people go, Pastor D, do you counsel? No and yes. No, but I got the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And I'm inviting him. I said, grab hands, we're praying. We're inviting him in. And you know, as we invite them in, and it's real interesting as people are telling me what's going on in their life. And I've prayed, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're the counselor. You're gonna give counsel. And yet, you know what it always is? This word comes that I've stuffed inside of here, comes up and it comes out of my mouth. And I'm half astonished most of the time than they are. They just go, oh, that pastor is so wonderful. And she, look at that. No, I am just amazed at what the word of God, you know, that's why you hide it in your heart and it'll come out. Praise the Lord. Pray. It's amazing. It's amazing. Has anybody ever had that happen? You get up in the morning and you're walking around your day and you got something going on in your life. And this word that you've been reading for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years bubbles up and you're like, oh, that's a good one. That's going to help me in my life. That's just what I needed. All right. Let me tell you a story. Y'all know I have four kids. They're all 2 years apart. Just bam, bam. We had babies and stuff like that. And how many of you found out when you had kids, they're expensive sometimes? I fell on the floor when I heard out how much formula costs. Praise God for nursing mothers, but diapers. Whoa, diapers. Okay. Braces. Not what it used to be. All right. So we had four kids and, you know, the church took good care of Jack and I, but there was a season when we were getting slammed with kids in braces. Jesse was going to have some special tutoring. Somebody needed this for soccer and it was just kind of tight. Anybody ever go through some tight moments in your pocketbook? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it was getting kind of tight in there. And Jack and I prayed like we always do. Father God, I thank you. We need some help. And I thank you for the wisdom. And I just thank you that you're just going to help us get through this and do whatever. So it was really interesting. I'll never forget. I got up that probably the next morning. We had prayed and I got up the next morning and I heard this phrase, in blessings, I will bless you. It's actually part of a scripture out of the Old Testament, but it just bubbled up out of the inner voice inside of here. In blessings, I will bless you. And I knew right away that was just God telling me, D, don't worry. I got this covered. I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. All right. And then a couple of days later, I'd hear another scripture, because you've given, it'll be given unto you. I was like, okay. And you know what? I just kind of rest in that. But did you hear? There was words that I'd been hearing that were bubbling up. And I would just say it out. And I was like, wow, I haven't thought about that one in ages. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Man, it just kind of bubbles up. And you're like, whoa, that's good. Okay. So guys, that's the inner voice. And that's scriptures that you've been reading for years. And it's going to bubble up. All righty. And you know, really, like I say, tell people, that's just the Holy Spirit doing his thing. The Holy Spirit does his thing. You do your part. Just be a good person in the Word of God. And he'll do his thing. He'll bring this stuff back up to you. All righty. Now, it's just, gee whiz. Oh, this one. This is a good one. Have you ever, it's probably none of you, it's just your pastor. Have you ever done something you weren't supposed to do? Have you ever said something you shouldn't have said? Have you ever reacted the way you shouldn't have? Oh, man. Jeez. All right. Okay. So after you do that, you're thinking, oh, man, I was so dumb. What were you thinking? I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you reacted that way. I'm pretty sure we've all done that, right? But this is the wonderful thing about God and his word. So I have done that when I've gone to, usually I've listened to the Lord say, Dee, what did you do? Oh God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And the next morning I wake up and those bad thoughts start hitting my head. You are such an idiot. You really messed it up. Look what you did. Look what you said. And you know what the Lord does? The scriptures that I've read, and sometimes they're just words. They're not like, for God to love the Lord, you know, it's not the whole thing. It's just part of the scripture will come up and they'll say, you're forgiven. Well, that's a scripture. You're blessed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're loved and, you know, you're forgiven. You're holy and blameless in my sight. Those things start coming up to me. And you know why God does that? Why would God do that for you? Why would God have those words bubble up for you and me? He loves me always. Okay. Because he doesn't want me to get stuck in the path of guilt and shame. And he loves you so much. He'll give you the word that'll put you on the right path where you can open up your ears again. Because you know that you've got an enemy. He just would love to tell you all the dumb things you said and did. Okay. Praise God. So that's his love. You're absolutely right, Jody. It's his love. And guys, that's the inner voice of God. Now, that's the inner voice of God with scriptures rising up, talking to you. And you're like, woohoo. Now, I want to talk about the specific way. And it's not through the specific way God will talk to you. He'll give you, now let me say it that way. He will give you specifics, but it's not with the scripture. Okay, you'll have this inner voice. Not with the scripture rising up, but it's an inner voice that'll start, will tell you some things or direct you. Usually it's telling me not to do some things. All right? It's not a scripture, but it's usually like, D, don't do some things. All right? Now, this is the voice, this is like, that you always have to test, because if not, you're going to get yourself in trouble. All right? So it's not a scripture that bubbles up. It's just this inner voice you're hearing to do something or go somewhere. Okay, but this one you have to test or you're going to end up in the ditch. Okay, you have to test this. Okay, and man, I have done some things that I thought it was God and I found out later that was stupid. All right. I can't believe, you know, just did done dumb things. All righty. Now, I will tell you, I can't tell you. It probably happens once a day, all the time, that inner voice, and it's not a scripture, will say, shut up. Don't say that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And then it gets a little bit louder. Shut up, D. Don't say that. Okay. That happens a lot to me. And I'm getting good at listening better, all right? Because listen, God is always talking to you. Everybody say, God is always talking to me. Whether it's scripture or spiritual impression or this bubble up out of your spirit, God's always talking, okay? I prefer when he doesn't yell, would you shut up? Okay, I like the little soft nudgings here, all right? Let me tell you a specific. My office had it painted and we had these blue chairs as my chairs if you were to come in and talk to me. And I thought, man, that looks a little shabby. You know, I want to look like I'm the pastor and I have a nice office, okay? So I said, Lord, I would really like to get some office nice chairs. And I was running around with Sherry. I think we were in Lancaster and we popped into a furniture store. Or maybe that was in York. I don't know which. And I saw these chairs and they were the colors that would look perfect. And let me tell you, it's really cute. With the carpets the same as you got at your feet. And I'm really tired of blue. So I did not want blue chairs. And I saw these chairs that come to my office anyway. So I saw them and then two of them. I wanted two of them. So you could sit in one and I could sit in one. And this, I was like, oh, let's get them. And I heard no. I was like, and then I turned the tag over and I'm like, yeah, heck no. Okay. But I was going to say, that's okay. I was going to get him. But I kept hearing no, no. Now, was that a scripture? It wasn't a scripture. It was just this voice on the inside saying no. So a couple months later, probably 6 months, years or a year later, I can't remember, I pop into the store and they are marked down half price. And I hear, yes. So they're in my office. And it's really funny. If you come to my office, I say, oh, come and sit in my nice soft chairs because I never get to sit in them. If you sit down, I get to sit down. So please come in and sit down in my chairs. But listen, that was, I call that an inner voice. Okay, the inner voice, it wasn't a scripture, but it was real. I heard no. Okay, I was like, okay, no. All right, I've had that happen when we were hiring people. I remember meeting this person. They had not yet moved to York, and I got to meet them, and I was like, man, gosh, they'd be great in this position. And then I heard the Lord, nope, not now. I was like, oh, okay. And then later on, I ran into this person, and they had moved to York. And then they said, well, I'm looking for a church. I said, I got a great church. Why don't you come over here? And they came to church. Eventually, we ended up by hiring them. But that wasn't a scripture. Okay, it was just this, okay. So, but you need to test it. So let's talk about the test. Everybody say test. It's real easy. It's not a hard test. It's not a multiple choice test. It's real easy. Okay, now this is not part of the test, but it's a given. if it's contrary to the word of God, that it's going to cause sin and bondage, don't do it. All right? Just don't do it. And you'd be surprised how many people kind of, okay. So, but here's the test. Here's the test. Ready? Number one, it's the test of time. Write that down. Test number one, time, time. That means you wait, you wait, you wait, you wait to see if it gets bigger, 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 or smaller. Okay? There are times you're supposed to wait. Those who wait upon the Lord, da-da-da-da, okay? There's a wait time. So that's my first test. The second one is the prayer test. Prayer. That means you're going to pray about it. God, I feel like you have spoken me to do blankety-blank. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to just make it bigger, bigger on the inside, or you're just going to shut it down, that I'm going to know. So we have the time test, the prayer test. Third test, it's called the people test. I go to somebody who I know is reputable. That sounds funny. A reputable, but a godly counsel. I seek out godly counsel. Somebody who I have a relationship. Somebody I've watched their life. I know the wisdom of God falls out of them, okay? And that they hear God. And I go to them and I do not say, most of the time I don't say, well, God spoke to me. Don't say that. Kind of like, you know. You don't have to say that. Just say, you know, if God's been taught. Oh, no, don't say that. You know, I've got this. See, I'm so used to saying that. But, you know, I've got this thing that I really feel like God wants me to do, or la, 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 la. And would you pray about it and tell me what you hear? Okay. Usually if I do those three things, it keeps me safe. Usually if I do those three things, it keeps me safe. All right. But sometimes, you know, I think it's God. Man, I think it's God. And I find out it wasn't. I find out it wasn't. I used to have this joke. I don't anymore because I cleaned it out. But I used to say everything in the downstairs mechanical room, like if you were to come down our stairs, the first room on the, what is that? Left. The first room on the left is our mechanical room, a.k.a. junk room. Okay. A.k.a. I don't think we prayed about it. We did the time test and we have leftovers, like gazillion leftovers. Okay. Not food. Don't take the food. But we would have, you know, have a project and we'd buy a gazillion of this. And then we got these leftovers. Joanne, you remember the I believe post, the stick? Too many. Yeah. I think we didn't do the time test on that. But anyway. Okay. Again, I'm going to say, listen, if it's a scripture that God is talking to you and it's exhorting you and it's a good thing, go run with it. Go run with it. But you need to test it out. You need to test it out. And here's a scripture for you. Turn over to Colossians. No. I don't want to do that one. Did I do 1 Thessalonians 5:19? 1 Thessalonians. That word Thessalonians, my tongue just gets stuck there. I'm so glad. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Ready? Don't put out the Spirit's fire. King James, I think, says quench. Don't quench the Spirit. But I like this translation, God's Word's translation. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise what God has revealed. Instead, test everything and hold on to what's good. So that scripture is telling you, when you get these things here, test it out. And I gave you the test. God tells you, you hear somebody say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, that's not always God. You got to test it out. See if it lines up. Sometimes you have this impression. Sometimes you have this thought come and you have to go, God, is that the inner voice of God? Is that really God or is that just me? And I ate pizza last night and that's bad. It didn't go down good. All right. You need to test it. All right. Test it. I'm telling you, if you test it out, you'll stay out of trouble. All right. Let me give you the last one. This is the best one. The fourth way you can test, I call it inner peace. Inner peace. Some of you, I'm just telling you stuff you know, but you may not be doing. So inner peace, that means it feels good on the inside. It feels good on the inside. We had moved out to Tulsa, and we were trying to get jobs, and Jack had got a part-time job. I was looking for a full-time job, and I have a degree in elementary education. The church we were going to had a Christian school, so I went and applied. I felt that I was supposed to go to this school and apply to take a job. So I went there and they said, oh, you're late. We just hired the last position, but we do have openings for volunteers. You know what that means? No money. I needed a job. I needed a full-time job. I was going to be the full-time person. Jack was going to be the part-time. I went home and cried and bawled. And Jack said, well, let's just pray about it. I was like, oh, yes. I was a baby Christian. Now I pray about everything. Okay, so we're praying about this. And I go, he goes, Dee, what do you hear? I said, I just have this peace. I'm supposed to take it. And everything says, no money. No money. Okay, and he says, Jack's so sweet, go after peace. So I went back and I said, hi, I'll take your volunteer position, full-time volunteer position. Yep, and let me tell you, there were lots of thoughts going through my brain for a whole month, and we didn't have a savings account per se, we had a checking account, and it was going down, and the end of the month, the principal calls me into the office. I don't care how old you are. It never feels good. Yep. I have been called into the principal's office as an adult when I was volunteering. I still start sweating. So he calls me in and he goes, Dee, we've decided to open up a paid position. You'll have your own class. Woo! Okay. I bawled. So I actually taught there for 2 years. It was amazing. But I'm telling you, I had peace on something that was saying that's not going to work. I had peace. And guys, all I can tell you is you all never move. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. Never move if the voice of the Lord doesn't come with peace. Even though my head was freaking out, right? My emotions, but the inner man was at peace. Anybody have a story like that? God just spoke. Yeah, I remember that one. All righty. All right, peace. Praise the Lord. Do I have a scripture for you? Yep. Colossians 3:15. Praise God. I like peace. Man. And I am a mess when I'm not in peace. I'm really not a nice person. Just get out of my way. I'm working at staying at it.
Yeah, you know.
I don't do good the last 45 minutes preparing Thanksgiving. Just get out of my kitchen. Those of you over here that know that, just, you know. Okay, I'm working at that. All right. Y'all at Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Okay, so he's telling us three things here. Three things are going down in this scripture. Number one, you're supposed to be at peace with people. Uh-huh. Especially the body of Christ. And really, this walking in peace around other people that don't know the Lord Jesus, man, that talks volumes. All right. So you're supposed to be at peace with people. All right. The second part, it says, be thankful. All right. So those are the two things. Be thankful for everything that you have right then. Just be thankful. Not for the Satan movement, but just have a thankful heart. All right. But the first one, I left the first one. And let the peace that comes from God rule in your heart. Okay. Who's giving out the peace? Got it. If you're a believer, guess what you got? It's there whether you walk in it or not. Guess what you got? Okay. So it's telling you, let the peace rule in your heart or rule in your life, all righty? The Greek word for that word rule is umpire. Umpire. Now, I know a smidgen about baseball. There's a guy with a bat and he's trying to hit a ball. Okay? And then there's a guy behind him, the catcher. And then there's the guy behind him. Who is he?
Umpire.
The umpire. See, you know a little bit about baseball. All right. Now, the batter sometimes we'll get mad at the umpire. He called it a strike, right? You ever see the batter turn around to the umpire? All righty. And now, then we got this catcher. Sometimes he's ticked off at that umpire too, and he'll turn around and have some words. He didn't like the way he called it a ball. It should have been a strike, all right? All righty. And have you ever seen them like face to face screaming at each other? I don't watch baseball, so I made that up. But they do, right, Stephen? They do that? Stephen knows. Okay. Alrighty. Now, but I got news. He's screaming at the umpire. And the umpire tells him exactly the way it's going to go down because he's the umpire. All righty. Listen, guys, the word of God, the inner voice, the spiritual impression, okay, it's this peace. It's this peace. And that should be the final thing that you go by. I don't care if your spouse tells you. And my spouse told me to do something, and it cost me $3,000. And I never had peace in it. I won't tell you what it was. I forgave him. But I didn't have peace in it. Especially spouses. When it's big money, you don't go until you have peace. Okay? Okay? So I didn't have peace. So you never move unless you have peace. It's the umpire, that peace. I love it. Just follow him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, let's wrap up here. Praise the Lord. Some of you are looking at me, Pastor D. I didn't know that I could walk and hear from God and walk this thing. I didn't know I could do that. Good. Come back next week. We're going to talk about tuning in to the frequency of God's voice. Okay, so come back next week. We'll take off of this, all righty? But let's close our heads, yeah. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Somebody said to me, well, Pastor D, why do you do that? Because I can be ADD, attention deficit all over the place, hyper whatever. So I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to, guys, this is like that you get to walk into the throne room of God. There's all ears. He's got all ears for you. So that's why I say, bow your head, close your eyes. And can I tell you, I know God's been speaking to hearts. I know that. And I think it's probably time for us to say, I think it's time to make a commitment. So if God's been speaking by the inner voice or by the scriptures to you today, how about you make that commitment, God? How about you make that commitment? God, I'm going to be a routine person that gets into your word. I'm committing from this time forward. I'm going to be routine to get in the word so it'll speak to me. Or maybe God's been talking to you about some things you need to stop doing through the message. Or maybe he's been just talking to you through the message or this past week, maybe even this morning. This is what I want you to do. How about you make that commitment and say, yes, God. Yes, God, I commit to follow after your voice. Praise God. Now, I believe all of us want to have the ability to hear God and grow. And sometimes it's just us camping out in the word of God. Sometimes it's just following after that peace. But let's just say, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to follow after you. Lord, I hear your voice and I let you direct my path. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, while we're still in prayer, this is how I love to end it. Maybe you came here today and you don't even have a relationship with God. You might say, I don't even know what you've been, I don't even know that there was a God that came and that loves me. But I want to talk to you. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor D, I don't even know this God you've been talking about. And what I'd like to ask you has nothing to do about joining a church, joining a religion, has nothing to do with that. It's about making a personal commitment to a living God who sent his son for you to bring you into a life that is incredible and forever. So if there's somebody here today and I just want to ask you, can you remember a time where you said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to turn my life over to you. If you're here and you can't remember ever doing that, but you're saying, I can't remember Pastor D ever doing that, but I want to do that. I want to do that today. I want to have this living God come. And it's Bible says, if you call on him, if you believe in him, you'll be saved. So if there's somebody here and you've never done that and you're just like, man, I'm done with living my life. I want to, that we'd like to pray with you. So what I'm going to do, sometimes I'll say stand up, sometimes I'll say raise your hand, but what I'm going to do is we're going to pray together. All of us are going to pray together, and you pray this out loud, okay? Pray it so you can hear it. You don't have to scream it so I can hear it, but just pray it so you can hear it. And the Bible is incredible. God is just faithful. And he said, if you say this, he will change your life. You will be forever changed. You will have him as your God, as your Father, Jesus as your Savior. And you got this Holy Spirit, the Counselor. So how about we pray this? Everybody say this after I do. Say, Lord God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe now that my sins are forgiven. And I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. I'm now your child. I'm in the family of God. And I ask you to help me the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, a miracle took place. And you may not feel any better. You may not look any better. But I'm telling you, a miracle took place. The life of God.